Chapter 6, Letter 43, Preview. Ellen White once wrote, "A sullen submission to the will of the Father will develop the character of a rebel." Page 120. In writing this, God's servant anticipated the number one problem confronting educators and parents: how to create a positive attitude on the part of children toward the church. This is the subject in the following letter. Young people are constantly urged to follow the advice given in 2 Peter 1, but many rebel. Why? Because without a positive concept of God and what He wishes to do for them, children relate to their church and to God out of fear or sheer duty rather than admiration. Religion becomes oppressive, and it is eventually rejected. Clearly, our duty is to introduce children to the God who stands behind the church's doctrines and standards. 2 Peter helps us do this. The emphasis is on obedience and growth based upon knowing God as a friend. The first chapter of 2 Peter is full of instruction and strikes the keynote of victory. The truth is impressively forced upon the mind by the way it is presented in this chapter. Let us more abundantly recommend the study of these words and the practicing of these precepts. The Apostle writes, 2 Peter 1, verse 1-3, "To them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue." What a grand theme this is for contemplation: the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Contemplating Christ and His righteousness leaves no room for self-righteousness, for the glorifying of self. In this chapter, there is no standstill. There is continual advancement in every stage of the knowledge of Christ. Through the knowledge of Christ is life eternal. In His prayer, Jesus says, "And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent." In God we are to glory. The prophet says, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. That, according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." Not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. The testimony of prophets and apostles is in full accord on this subject. We are to glory in the Lord our God. Continual advancement in contemplating righteousness of God. Peter continues, saying, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." We have been called to the knowledge of Christ, and that is, to the knowledge of glory and virtue. It is a knowledge of the perfection of the divine character manifested to us in Jesus Christ that opens up to us communion with God. It is by appropriating the great and precious promises that we are to become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Vital relation with God essential. What possibilities are opened up to the youth who lay hold of the divine assurances of God's Word? Scarcely can the human mind comprehend what is the breadth and depth and height of the spiritual attainments that can be reached by becoming partakers of the divine nature. The human agent who daily yields obedience to God, who becomes a partaker of the divine nature, finds pleasure daily in keeping the commandments of God, for he is one with God. It is essential that he holds as vital a relation with God as does the Son to the Father. He understands the oneness that Christ prayed might exist between the Father and the Son. Jesus prayed, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me." Lifted standard. What privileges and blessings are granted to those who have obtained like precious faith with the disciples of Christ? Nothing is withheld from them. The apostle says, "His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue." The standard is lifted up before us higher and still higher, and yet we are to reach it individually. We may attain unto glory and virtue, though weak, sinful mortals, by learning daily lessons in the school of Christ, by becoming conformed to the divine image, by manifesting his excellency of character, by adding grace to grace, by climbing round by round the ladder heavenward, by becoming complete in the Beloved. As we shall work upon the plan of addition, by faith adding grace to grace, God will work upon the plan of multiplication and multiply his grace and peace unto us. We are to be diligent students in the school of Christ, having a knowledge of his will and becoming active laborers in his vineyard. Plan of multiplication. The apostle describes to us the plan on which we are to work. He says, "Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth." 2 Peter 1, verse 5 to 12. Youth to be living witnesses for Christ. If our youth would take heed to and practice the rules laid down in this chapter, what an influence they would exert on the side of righteousness, whether they were at blank, or in our institutions, or in any place of responsibility. They would see this truth, and their life work would be successful. They would realize the need of being much in prayer, of being rooted and grounded in the truth, so that by precept and example, they might be living witnesses for Christ. They would then be like Paul, who after his conversion was a channel through which bright beams of light were shed upon the great plan of salvation. They would be workers together with God in reshaping moral character, and would be instruments through which the image of God might be retraced in man. They would respond to the working of the Holy Spirit and become one with Christ in God. No longer would the law which they have transgressed be a yoke of bondage, but it would be the law of liberty, the freedom of sonship. having repented toward God, having exercised faith in Christ, they have experienced forgiveness and esteem the law of God above gold, yea, above fine gold. Freedom of sonship. Jesus is the sin bearer. He takes away our sins and makes us partakers of His holiness. Oh, what tender, pitying love dwells in the heart of Christ toward the purchase of His blood. He is able to save unto the uttermost all who come unto God by Him. There is power in these precious promises, and we should cooperate with the working of Christ, devoting all our God-given talents to the service of the Master, that the Holy Spirit may work through us to the glory and honor of Christ. Learners in Christ. Students should have a growing, expanding idea of what it means to be a Christian. To be a Christian means to be a learner in the school of Christ. It means the connecting of soul, mind, and body with divine wisdom. When this union exists between the soul and God, we are taught of God, who gives wisdom and knowledge. His Spirit imparts thoughts that are clear and holy, and gives the knowledge that lives through eternal ages. Those who are consecrated, diligent, persevering laborers, putting to use every capability, employing all their faculties for the glory of God, who are not slothful in business, but are fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, will reap an eternal reward. But it is our part to be courageous, to exercise firm faith in God. Students to share knowledge of the divine. The end is near, and students should make most diligent effort to carry forward the work intelligently of acquiring knowledge, that they may impart to others. Blank. I had no idea of writing as I have, but I could not forbear. I felt impelled by the Spirit of God to lift up the standard of Christian character. If we will take heed and be true one to another as the needle to the pole, we will be laborers together with God. I thank you for all the pains you have taken in writing to me, and in sending those things which you think will be of service to me. You have been kind to do this, and I thank you for seeking to help me in my need. I pray the Lord to bless you and yours. Portion of Letter 43, 1895.